We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between two and five players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
And now for something completely different.
I'm a Hall of Famer. I'm in three Halls of Fame. For the young fans, they don't give a damn. They just give a damn about themselves and what they're hearing now. And I got no problem with those rules. I know the rules going in. I'm happy to play the game that way.
And when Ivan came off with that knee drop from the top rope and he pinned me, I thought that something happened. I couldn't hear a thing. You could have heard the pin drop in that arena. It touched me so deeply that when I went in the dressing room, I really felt depressed.
I'll tell you that, I'll tell you right to his face. And with Hogan and I, if he wanted to get in a real street fight with me, trust me, he would lose. And he knew it.
You know, that's the other thing. They give you the belt, and they're like, okay, you're in charge of me. I was like, what?
When you mentioned a guy like Harley Race, that kind of legendary status, it's obvious why people would get upset.
As far as I'm concerned, Roddy Piper was not a wrestler. He wasn't even a good worker. If he had to go out and work his way to the top and not have good friends like Jim Barnett. I mean, I'm not saying he's not a good guy. He's just not a tough guy.
Bro, I swear to you, I don't have an ego. Like, I don't give a crap. That stuff is not important to me. People don't know me. They have no idea of who I am. They know of me as being a fictional character that they saw on TV.
People didn't understand that, you know, the guy they saw in the ring that happened to be using his real name and happened to actually be the president of the company, they really believed that that guy that they loved to hate was actually a pretty decent guy. And I think many people have the perception that I really was that character.
Welcome to the two-man power trip wrestling. My host JP John Paz with me today, actor, director. He's done it all. He's a Peabody Award winner, one of the greatest actors, and of course, international film and television star. Of course, have to mention that too. He is Mr. Nick Searcy. Nick, welcome to two-man power trip. How you doing?
Great to be here, John. Thanks for having me.
What's going on in your world? What have you been up to?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I just finished doing something right before Christmas that was, it's a Netflix show called The Perfect Couple. It stars Nicole Kidman and Liev Schreiber and Dakota Fanning and a bunch of other kind of big stars like me. And it's about a 6-hour miniseries that'll air sometime in the coming year. And other than that, just sort of I'm working on a documentary that I'm finishing up. And it's a sequel to a documentary I made called Capital Punishment, which is about January 6th. And basically just pitching stuff and also getting ready to move out of California. So it's a pretty busy time.
Got to get out of there. Terrible state. Got to get out of there, right?
It's too bad. Used to be such a beautiful place.
Right. Yep. Anything wrestling related you got going on in your world lately or no?
Not really, except just being a fan. I mean, I've been watching it quite a bit and, you know, enjoying it. But we had a wrestling project we were trying to push, but it didn't go anywhere. I wanted to do a movie about Norvell Austin, who was basically part of the first interracial tag team champions back in the early 60s with Sputnik Monroe. But it's like nobody wants to go back that far. You know, it's like the history doesn't mean that much. But it was good to see Iron Claw. I mean, I'm glad that movie got made. That's a good sign. So maybe there'll be a place for it in the future.
Did you see Iron Claw? What'd you think about it?
I haven't seen it yet. I was so mad that I wasn't in it that I couldn't watch it. So.
It is really good. Obviously, emotional roller coaster. True story, or you know, part of it is true. Some of the timeline people were complaining was off, but they had to do that for the movie, and they obviously left some things out for the movie as well.
Right. I wanted to be in that really bad. I was kind of hitting my manager pretty hard about it. So after I get over my pettiness, I'll watch it someday.
Gotcha. I gotcha. Who did you want to play?
The father.
You know. Oh, Fritz. Okay.
Yeah. That's about the only one I was the right age to play.
I thought maybe you want to be Harley Race or one of the guys that they go back and they.
That'd be great. I don't think I'm in physical shape enough to do that, but that would have been fun. I mean, I've done a little bit. I've been in wrestling matches here and there, but mostly as a manager, not really as a wrestler.
Oh, I remember Ring of Honor back in 2014. Yeah. That was great. How did that even like come about? Because, you know, you're the Peabody Award winner. You actually bring out the Peabody Award. But like, how do you become the manager? How do they even ask you?
Well, Matt Hardy and I had gotten to be friends. We had met on a project that I was trying to put together, kind of a reality show about struggling wrestlers. I went and shot this thing in Georgia and we did a few matches and Matt and I got to be friends because we're both from North Carolina. And we just, you know, played around over the years. He would, he was a fan of Justified, and Matt was wrestling on the indie circuit back then. And I would do little promos for him from the set of Justified. Like he had a match one time with Kevin Steen, who's now Kevin Owens. He had a match coming up with Kevin Steen, and I would make a little, you know, tape from Justified talking about how big stars like Matt and I shouldn't have to put up with little fish like Kevin Steen and how bad it must smell to get in the ring with Kevin Steen and all this stuff, you know? And so we just sort of got to be friends that way. And then one day he just said, "Hey, do you know, I'm doing this match in Nashville. Do you want to come be my manager?" I said, "That would be a ball. Yeah, I'd love to do that. I'm going to be nearby anyway." So it all worked out. I was doing like a celebrity tournament in Kentucky, and I was sending videos to Matt from that celebrity tournament, doing promos on the Briscoe brothers. I was like, why do big stars like you and I have to deal with these chicken farmers, you know, and you know, that kind of stuff. So that's kind of how it all came about.
That was so great, because I would say it's Mike Bennett and Matt Hardy, but you're like kind of like their pseudo manager with Maria against the Briscoe brothers, who obviously are going to want to get physical with you as well.
Yeah, it's a great story. I mean, you know, I got to Nashville about 3 hours before the show, and so we all got in the ring and just sort of talked through the match, and we came up with this bit for me where Matt would call for me to throw my Peabody Award in the ring, and he'd hit Jay with it, and then Jay would kick out, and then I'd climb into the ring to get my precious Peabody Award, and Mark picked it up, and I was like, get your filthy hands off that. You don't have the right to touch that and all this. And they said, yeah, and then Mark will kick you in the stomach and hit you on the back, and then Jay will drop the elbow on you off the top rope. And I said, that sounds like that's going to be really funny, but won't that hurt? And I think it was Mark, actually. I think Mark said to me, well, you know, you'll feel it, but it won't hurt you. And so they tried to show me how to take it, you know, how to lift up off the mat a little bit and keep your arms in front of you so that you take most of the brunt of it on your arms instead of your chest. But, you know, I got in the middle of it and we do the thing and there's 2,000 people screaming and I'm laying on the mat on my back and I look up and Mark's about to jump on me. And I just go, holy shit. And I just flinched and he hit me right in the ribs. And I think it hurt for 6 months. I mean, I think he broke my ribs, but I couldn't really admit that I'd gotten hurt because my wife had been telling me for months, don't do this. You're going to get hurt. So I couldn't admit to her that I actually did get hurt.
Damn. So
I just tried
to take it easy on you.
I just tried not to laugh too much for about 6 months, and it finally got better.
Man, they didn't take it easy on you at all.
No, and you know it was great. I don't play. I mean, it looked great. It was a great gig, and you know I have so much respect for what they do. It's like, you know, I guess there's part of it. It's like, okay, you want to come play in our arena? This is what it's like, you know, because those guys take bumps like that every day, every day. So.
Did you want to do more after that or after you got hurt a little bit? You're like, I'm done with this for a while.
You know, it was fun. I would have liked to have done a little bit more, but, you know, it's sort of things got a little bit too busy for me. And, Ring of Honor didn't ask me to do another spot. So, I mean, if they had asked, I probably would have done it. But it didn't really turn into anything. So.
Are you just doing that because – basically you love the business so much, it's like you got to be in it, you know what I mean, like you love it so much you wanted to play a part.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a fan since I was a kid, you know. I grew up with Dusty Rhodes and Johnny Valentine and Wahoo McDaniel and, you know, all those guys, they were my heroes. I went to see them all through high school, and so I was just a fan all the way through, and I've always been. My first date with my wife, she'd never been to a wrestling match, and we were living in New York, and Hulk Hogan was wrestling in Madison Square Garden. I said, you've never seen Hulk Hogan? Look, if we're going to get together, you got to see Hulk Hogan. So one of our first dates, we went to Madison Square Garden to see Hulk Hogan. So it's just always been a big part. And actually I was going to show you this.
Oh yeah.
In like 1989, my wife and I moved out of New York because she got pregnant, and I got involved with a little wrestling federation down in North Carolina.
Whoa, awesome.
And so this was I've still got the poster for it. I was a manager. Let's see if I can get it up there.
Yeah.
Where it says Hillbilly Willie versus the Carolina Heartthrob. And it says managed by Nick Fear. That was me. I was Nick Fear. The most terrifying name in professional wrestling. So
that's awesome. How did that happen? Well, that's awesome.
Well, we moved back from North Carolina to have the baby in North Carolina. And I was just sort of looking for something to do. I was thinking about giving up acting anyway, thinking about becoming a English professor or something. And I saw a little ad in my local newspaper for a new wrestling federation that's starting up. And I thought, well, that might be fun. I mean, something to do. So I call this guy up and I tell him, you know, I've been in New York for a while acting, and I'm thinking about coming down and maybe seeing if you needed some help, like a manager. I said, I'm probably too old to be a wrestler right now, but I'm a pretty good actor. I could probably be a manager. And he said, well, I could probably train you to be a manager for about $300. And I said, well, okay. What about a referee? I mean, I've been watching it my whole life. I know the rules. He said, I could train you to be a referee for $200. And I said, I don't know. Let me just come over there and meet you and talk to you. So I go over and meet this guy, and it's in this little metal warehouse, you know, right next to a welding shop. It's a, you know, World Championship Wrestling Federation or whatever. And I go in and meet him. His name was Chuck Justice, Waynesville, North Carolina. And he said, you know, I might just put you to work. I need a manager. And I said, you're a wrestler? He was about like 150 pounds.
Wow.
He said, yeah, man, I'm the Carolina heartthrob. So I said, all right, let's go. I'll give it a shot. So I did one match with him, and he had a bull rope match with this guy, and I kind of got involved. I was carrying a cane and, you know, kind of trying to act like Percy Pringle pretty much or something like that. So yeah, it was fun. And, you know, we didn't make any money or anything. So I just figured, well, I've already got one profession, acting, where I'm not making any money. I don't really need to add another one.
You didn't really pay him $200, though, did you?
No, I didn't pay him.
Okay, good. I was going to say, he doesn't sound too, you know, too legendary of a guy to fork over money for training.
No. But he was a nice guy. He contacted me about a month ago. I found him on Facebook or something. And he's still at it. He's still doing it. So.
Wow. The Carolina heartthrob still.
Yeah. I don't think he wrestles as that anymore. But, you know, it's like, that's the thing I love about the wrestling people. It's like they do it because they love it. Because, they believe in it. And I get it. It's that immediate thrill that the crowd, when you're making them hate you or making them love you, it's like doing theater. I mean, when you do that in a play, but the thing that's great about wrestling is it combines athletics and acting, and I love it. I have so much respect for those guys. I would love to do something else with it one of these days.
Man, it feels like wrestling in Hollywood, it's very similar. Like you're saying, like the acting with the physicality, it almost seems like a big stunt show, or, you know, a stunt show with some good acting as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when I was a kid, you know, Hollywood, you know, wrestling was looked down upon. You know, it was like that, oh, you don't believe in that stuff, do you, or whatever. And, you know, it was sort of like, you know, a weird subculture that nobody wanted to admit that they loved. And now it's just huge. It's bigger than Hollywood. The biggest Hollywood stars are wrestlers now. So,
yep.
It's totally entered the mainstream, which in some ways takes some of the fun out of it. But I still love it.
I love that your wife is letting you take her to wrestling on the first date, and you get to see the Hulkster, the greatest of all time. I love that.
I know. We had a great time. And she was like, you know, we were in a play together. She's an actress, too. And we're sitting there, and all those people in Madison Square Garden, she says, look at all these people. I mean, why can't we get all these people to the theater? And I said, this is theater. That's the protagonist, Hulk Hogan. There's the antagonist, the bad guy. It's theater. That's why everybody's here. It's just really visceral, really effective theater.
So true. It's almost like, okay, this Roddy Piper, you know, he's the antagonist. He's the one, you know, it is so similar to acting in the plays and that world. It's crazy how similar it is.
Yeah. Well, my favorite pastime really is if I'm on location somewhere and I'm shooting a movie and I have to be there for a few weeks, the first thing I do is look up see if there's some like small wrestling, you know, show that somewhere that somebody started, because that's my favorite thing. I love to go to the shows where, you know, there's not famous wrestlers there. It's all people who have to establish their characters the minute they come out so that the audience knows who the bad guy is and who the good guy is. And I just find that endlessly entertaining. I love seeing those guys do that, the coming up with a character that they think will provoke the audience. And I mean, that's what acting is. That's what it is. That's what I do. It's like, I play a lot of bad guys. It's like, how do I make them hate me? You know,
you prefer playing the bad guy more?
I'm good at it. I do have more fun playing the bad guy, although, you know, Justified, I wasn't a bad guy. And that was some of the most fun I've ever had. But I've learned to enjoy being evil on screen. It's like, you know, you can be as awful as you want to be and there's no consequences and you're not really hurting anybody. So it's kind of fun to be that awful. You
know? Oh yeah. I could see that for sure. I was going to say Art Mullen from Justified. I don't remember him being too bad. He was the best. I loved him. Obviously him and Raylan are the best.
Yeah. Well, Art had an edge to him and, you know, you get a sense that the thing I liked about the Art Raylan relationship is I think Art saw a lot of himself in when he was younger in Raylan. Like, I used to behave like you, you asshole, you know, but, you know, and, but I think that's, you know, that he kind of had wisdom that he was trying to impart to his young whippersnapper up and coming. And, you know, you could tell that Art had maybe in his life bent the rules a little bit, just like Raylan had.
Right. You're not supposed to be drinking at the office, right? And every time you guys would kind of win a case or solve something, you bring out the old whiskey or the old bourbon.
Yeah. 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 It was, Art was not a goody two shoes, that's for sure. But he was kind of the moral center of the show. You know, he was like the one who say, okay, you can go over the line a little bit, but if you go too far over, you know, you're no better than they are. So, you know, Art was the one who kept Raylan in the middle. And I think that's why the sequel suffered. They didn't have me in it. They didn't.
Yeah.
Have
were
me
you supposed to be in it or no?
Well, no, I was never written into it. You know, it's not like the, nobody from the original Marshall's office was, you know, since he was in a different city, which I told him from the beginning, I said, you guys are going to be sorry. This is a mistake. But they don't listen to me. So.
It was not that great. The last few episodes, it picked up a little bit. Obviously, the end was a nice little homage to the beginning of the series. But yeah, it wasn't that good. It needed a little, maybe needed you or, you know, it needed something, but it wasn't good. It wasn't that good, to be honest.
Yeah. I think they had to bring some of the old show back in towards the end because they realized it's like, nobody likes this. We got to remind them, you know.
Yeah, you can't remind
them how they liked it.
You can't change a show and make it like, oh, in these times, in these modern times, you know what I mean? It's a little bit too woke for me.
Yeah. And it's also like, you know, it's this idea that the only thing anybody liked about the first show was the main character. I mean, that's not, you know, it's like if they did a sequel to The Sopranos and they moved Tony to like Arizona and it was just a whole bunch of new mobsters or something. It's like, that wouldn't be any fun. You know, you'd be going, where's Polly Walnuts? And, you know, why isn't Carmella in it? You know, it's just right. Dumb, you know.
Now, as far as you, like me, Justified, I know you for Justified, I know you're in Castaway. What do most people know you as when they see it? Is it Justified or is it something? Because I know you've been in like 130 movies and TV shows.
Well, it's funny. Yeah, Justified is probably the thing that I'm most famous for. Or that's what people remember the most. And it wasn't that long ago. If you ask Alexa who Nick Searcy is, Alexa will tell you Justified, From the Earth to the Moon, the HBO
movie. Yeah.
And they'll say Gosnell, the movie that I directed about the abortion doctor. That's what Amazon Alexa says I'm most famous for. So, but yeah, I mean, I get, you know, Justified is what people come up to me and talk about.
Now, as far as those wrestling projects you were mentioning before, like the one that didn't get off the ground, what was it? Like, what was it supposed to be? Like an actual promotion?
Oh, you mean the original one where I met Matt Hardy?
Yeah.
It was a reality show about wrestlers in basically in Georgia between Chattanooga and Atlanta. Because at that time, this was probably about 2011, there were probably six different promotions, different, you know, Southern Pro Wrestling, you know, Hillbilly Wrestling Federation, whatever, six different small promotions that were all operating in that area. And I just sort of thought it was fascinating. And I just went and talked to some of these guys and we shot footage with them and, you know, shot them training. And, you know, they all had side jobs, you know, they all were, you know, varying degrees of success. And One of them worked at Amazon. One of them had his own like business, and you know, one of them was quite rich and who did wrestling and because he loved it. But you know, I just thought that world was really fascinating. And we shot a little. We shot for about a week, and we put together a 7 or 8 minute teaser reel and shopped it around. And there was some interest, but I think part of the problem, what we ran into back then, it was like, everybody was kind of, all the networks were kind of afraid to do anything about wrestling because they just thought Vince McMahon was just too powerful and they would, you know, absorb it or they would kill it or something. So we just never could get it going.
Were you hanging out with the Nate Chiboli Paul Lee down there?
Yes, exactly right. In Ringgold, Georgia. Yeah. He was one of our big, big guys that we interviewed. I'm still in touch with him too. What a hilarious fellow. He's a really interesting man.
What a throwback, huh?
Yeah. And I love it that his whole gimmick was, he's the real Nature Boy. I'm just doing an impression of Ric Flair. That's my gimmick.
Yeah. Did you happen to see the Netflix documentary on OVW called Wrestlers? Did you check that out?
I haven't seen it yet. I've come across it, but yeah, I mean, that's what we wanted to do. You know, that was pretty much it. Somebody else came along and did it.
So. I was going to say that almost sounds exactly like it is, but 10 years earlier, whatever, you know, 12 years earlier.
Yeah. Obviously I'm a better actor than I am a producer. So somebody else beat me to it.
Very good though. If you want to check that out on Netflix, very good. Good stuff.
I will.
Now, as we hit the wind and we head towards the finish, all time, what's your favorite promotion? Is it NWA, Jim Crockett? Like, what's your favorite promotion? What's your favorite era? Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling? What's your favorite?
I would probably go Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling. Because that's what I grew up with. I mean, I went all around the South. You know, I would go to wrestling matches when I was in high school. And I remember seeing Ric Flair beat Van Vader in Starrcade in 1993 in Charlotte, yeah. You know. And one of my favorite memories, I mean, Wahoo McDaniels came and wrestled in my high school gym. I mean, that was the great thing about back then is they wrestled 6 nights a week and they would go everywhere. They were every town that they thought they could fill a stadium, or not even a stadium, a high school gym, they would go. And I remember coming out of the Asheville Civic Center one time. I probably was a sophomore in high school, and a bunch of us had gone to the match, and we'd put on our sleeveless shirts, and we were all trying to dip snuff, and it made us sick, you know, because we wanted to be tough or whatever. And we're sitting in the parking lot. Johnny Valentine and Wahoo McDaniels just beat each other half to death, beat each other bloody, hitting each other with chairs and ring bells and stuff. And we were talking out in the parking lot talking about what a great match that was. And we look up and here comes this van, and Wahoo McDaniels is driving and Johnny Valentine is sitting in the passenger seat right beside it. And we go, what the hell? What's going on? This was before we figured it out. And we were like, oh my God, they're in on it. So ever since, I mean, yeah, that was to me, that was the most fun.
David, they got to keep kayfabe. Never drive together. You can't be
seen. No, it was like, wow, you know, yeah, exactly. If we'd had the internet back then, they would have been in big trouble because we would have put it everywhere.
That was like by me in the 80s in New Jersey. Jim Duggan, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Iron Sheik got caught with drugs in the car and was all over the papers. Like, wait, why are they driving? Not that they had drugs. It was like, wait, why are they driving together? What?
Yeah, yeah, crazy. So much fun.
Who's your all-time favorite? Is it Dusty, or who's your all-time fave?
Ric Flair.
Oh, Flair. Okay.
I mean, that's so boring. But, you know, I have one of my obscure all-time favorites is Adrian Adonis, who I just thought was a genius. I mean, I've seen specials about him, and obviously he had some personal problems here and there. But I just thought he was a fascinating wrestler. I really did, especially after he kind of gained all the weight and he was still doing all that acrobatic stuff. And he was still doing the flower shop character. And that's sort of the homosexual wrestler, you know, kind of thing.
Yep.
It's like all of that stuff was so ahead of its time, and you know, it was great. It was great.
Died way too young too, Adrian.
Yeah, he absolutely did.
If yeah. Flair, that's a generic choice. I'm surprised, but Adrian does. That's a good one.
Well, Flair is just somebody I've just always loved him. You know, he's just like, he's done some of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. I remember a cage match he had with Randy Savage, where he would climb to the top of the cage and Randy Savage would reach up and grab him by the trunks and pull his trunks down and show his ass. Well, he'd make sure to do that on every side of the cage, so everybody saw it. You know, it's like he's gonna make sure everybody sees my ass. And I was at a match in Greensboro where he was wrestling gorgeous Jimmy Garvin. And they did a gag where Garvin's knee got hurt and Ric Flair just started really torturing him, you know, just really like making it so awful and visceral. And somebody went crazy in the audience and just, you know, tried to get in the cage, and you know, he could make people crazy. And so that was the thing I liked about him. He was able to get under people's skin and make it all too real that they couldn't stand it. So
he could be the greatest of all time. If you really look at, you know, promo ability, wrestling ability, face, heel, he could do comedy. He could do this. Like, he's, you know, wrestling half the match with his ass hanging out. Like, he could do everything. He's like, to me, the prototypical perfect wrestler. If you want to like mold one, would be Flair.
Absolutely. And go 50 minutes every night, 6 nights a week. You know, he did it better than anybody else.
And his acting ability, he made you believe, like, okay, he could be crying, and then 2 seconds later, you know, shut up, fat boy, or stand at attention, fat boy. His acting ability was great.
Yeah, yeah. And he never really, you know, the other side of that was that he never really broke character. Like, he never, like, did, like, what Cena did or what The Rock did, where they go out and they, you know, or even Hulk Hogan, where they go out and they do a movie or something. Flair never did any of that. You know, it's like, no, I'm a wrestler. This is what I do. And it made him more believable, I think.
So what do you got next? What's coming down the pike?
Well, I'm, like I said, I'm moving out of California. I'm going to be living back east, undisclosed location. But I've got some projects, you know, a couple of scripts that I've written that I'm trying to get funding for. We've got an offer out to kind of a major star right now. If he says yes, I'll be doing that. And other than that, I mean, to be honest, I'm sort of at the point in my career where I don't want to work just to work. You know, I'm looking for something that means something to me, that I want to be, you know, that I really want to do. And so I'm a little bit more choosy these days. But there's a couple of things coming out that I've already done. There's a movie called Reagan coming out later this year, with Dennis Quaid playing Ronald Reagan. Oh. And I play Secretary of State James Baker in that. And like I said, Perfect Couple. The documentary that I'm finishing up will be coming out. It'll be called Capital Punishment 2, The War on Truth. And so that's pretty much what I'm doing. I'm just trying to do personal projects that I care about.
Any more like wrestling related projects? Any way that maybe an old project can come back to life, or something you were working on wrestling wise? Anything like that?
It's possible. It's possible, but I don't really have anything in my hip pocket right now that I'm ready to do. I mean, that's the kind of thing that I think somebody would have to involve me in. I'm not really actively developing something like that right now.
Any Twitter beats going on with wrestlers like back in the day? Any of that kind of stuff?
I think I did get in a Twitter fight with Kevin Nash one time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because he said something. I can't remember what it was. I can't even remember what it was about, but he said something about if you don't vote for Obama, you're a racist or something. And so we got into a back and forth, and he kind of, he got mad. And so then I made a little tape that I put up on Twitter called, and I kept calling him Prius instead of Diesel, you know, because yes. he's he's a liberal. And I was in the gym, you know, with a punching bag, showing Prius what I was going to do to him, and that I was going to hit him in the nuts and all this. It was pretty silly, but I think it really made him mad. I was asking Matt Hardy, I said, "Do you think he knows that I'm kidding around?" And Matt said, "I think he's mad."
That's great.
I'm careful when I, you know, somebody sends me a project, I go, just one question, is Kevin Nash in it? Because I don't really want to get in a fight with it.
That's great. I love it. Now, speaking of X, where can everybody find you and follow you on Twitter and social media?
Yes, Nick Searcy is my Twitter handle, and that's probably the best place to find me. I'll be there slapping people around, you know, all day long. And I'm also on locals.com, nickcersei.locals.com. That's a place where you can actually see the movie Capital Punishment, which is also out on Rumble. You can look for it there. But I'm not that hard to find.
All right. Awesome. Nick, thank you so much for all the time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, John. It was fun. Thanks for having me on. Love talking about wrestling. Nobody ever asked me about wrestling. They always ask me about stupid politics.
Forget about politics. Wrestling is way more important
and far more real than actual politics.
I totally agree. Yes. But Nick, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Good talking to you.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick 'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
Reach for the sky, boy.
Hot dog. I knew Ring of Honor on pay-per-view was a big deal. But Nick Searcy gonna be there? Are you kidding me right now? The Peabody Award winning Nick Searcy. The Peabody Award. One of the most prestigious awards in all of Hollywood. I saw that thing, round, circular, it's beautiful. It's gonna work out good for you, Searcy, when we shoveled up your old ass.
To the Ring of Honor world title.
He has done it!
at Best in the World, Sunday, June 22nd. Pay-per-view. Michael Elgin proves he is the best in the world.